Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sweat the technique.
Now back to the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Can my son's 10U select baseball team get a shout-out Bay Area Express? No, absolutely not. We're not shout-out radio. We don't give shout-outs to anybody.
Bay Area Express.
I wouldn't give a shout out to my grandmother. And you know what? She raised me that way.
You think she supports the fact that you wouldn't give her a shout out?
Absolutely. It's not about her. It's about the hive. It's about the people.
The love for her that you do it.
She knows I love her. She doesn't need a shout out on the radio to prove I love her. Okay. She's not that insecure.
Doesn't have to be.
You don't
insecure.
Love me if you don't shout me out on the radio.
Absolutely
not. Okay. Absolutely not. Philip is the guy that has to be the first one in the office in the morning. We're not going to read Philip insults. 713-780-3776. Philip's on the Twitch right now saying, please, no more jokes at my expense. So don't tease Philip. He's done enough. The best is the girlfriend's reactions when they get drafted. So good.
The CeeDee Lamb one was great.
So good.
CeeDee Lamb was really good. Yeah. Didn't she try and look at the phone or take one of the phones and he got mad?
That one is the most memorable. There's two ones that stick out to me. That one's really good. I don't know if I would have remembered that if you hadn't brought it up, though. Like, that one's really good. Yeah. But I don't know if I would have thought of that one. The one that immediately comes to mind for me was Russell Wilson's girlfriend. It
was his wife at the time. I think they were already married.
They were married?
Yeah.
She was
the blonde girl.
She was so aghast that the bottom and the top of her lip was like the Grand Canyon. That's how, like, it was the biggest smile I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
Biggest smile ever. That's the one that sticks out to me more than any of them ever.
I believe they were already married.
They were already married?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Yeah, but anyway, that's the one that sticks out to me. That one was pretty elite.
Your boy Will Levis's girl got a lot of attention.
Yeah, I think she broke up with him because he slid in the draft. Yeah, good for her. Yeah. Not sticking up with that.
You doesn't like milk either.
You jobber. Branham, Blankers, I will do better, says Honey Glaze Branham. I believe you, because there ain't nothing worse than that.
Well, I don't know if Jeremy's going to let you. You can text.
Yeah, bar was everybody, set pretty low.
When we send out, you can text. When I say you can text, you can call, you can tweet. I think if Jeremy does it, I don't think the call's going to be part of that.
We'll give everybody deserves a second chance. But that was rough.
When that second chance happens is under review.
We'll see the courage that Honey Glaze Branham has. If he has cojones, he'll try again tomorrow. If he doesn't, well, he's not going to call for a long time, maybe ever.
You're going to have the quick hook?
Yeah. Absolutely. We'll have a quick hook. Phillip's favorite weekend plans is checking work emails. Come on. Stop insulting Phillip. 713-780-3776. Texture, you're kind of aren't you, Branham? What makes you think that? What makes you think I'm a jerk or something that's synonymous with jerk or something that's synonymous with a donkey's whatever? I don't know why you would think that, just because I'm not giving a shout-out to my grandma on the air. Plus, she's Spanish. She speaks Spanish.
What's that got to do?
She wouldn't understand it. She wouldn't understand it. She only speaks Spanish.
Okay.
She would have no clue what I'm saying.
I mean,
it would be lost on her.
We think the Astros still have an interpreter, but someone could interpret it.
If I'm not giving a shout-out to my Spanish-speaking grandmother, I'm not giving a shout-out to the 10U Bay Area Express. No. We're not shout-out radio. You don't do that.
I did.
Yeah. Soft. Shout-outs are soft.
Okay.
Some people are not going to get what just happened there.
I celebrated graduating college. I partied. I had the rest of my life to work. Let these dudes enjoy themselves, Philip. I watched the NFL draft rooting for the sad player camera of guys falling off the draft board. And I'm the jerk. And also rooting for players to literally trip on their way onto the stage.
Now that's the jerk
most
take,
famous fall and failure is Rodgers, right?
Yeah. In the draft, yes. Not like a literal fall, but
I'm saying the fact that he was in the green room. He was supposed to be a high pick.
Levis felt pretty good.
Yeah, he was there. That's true.
Levis was a heavy favorite to be a top 10 pick, and he fell to the second round.
At one point, not that long before the draft, he was a favorite to be here.
Yes. The day before the draft, he was a favorite to be in Houston, and I was trolling everybody. Now, on draft day, it moved pretty big to Stroud.
It moved drastically.
Yeah, it did move pretty big to Stroud. Sanders is – there's a lot of talk that Sanders doesn't have a first-round grade.
That's a lot of people don't give him one, and then there's a few that say, don't fool yourself. He's going to be top five.
He's going to be a mystery for the draft. My hunch says that an owner is going to force somebody to draft him. I think somebody texted in earlier and said that the Browns are going to draft Travis Hunter and then trade up for Shedeur Sanders and be the most exciting team in the NFL. That would be fascinating.
That would be.
If they get both of those guys, that would be fun. I would root for that.
I would root for that to happen. Trying to salvage your image, your screw up with Deshaun Watson and everything with the Haslam family, you could put yourself in a positive light that everybody would be watching right now if you got those two guys.
That would be interesting. I've never understood why the draft was interesting at all. Finding out more people I don't like the draft. Then that's interesting to me. The draft is boring, so is baseball talk 17 games in. Glad the Cougs made it to the ship. Go Cougs, and Rockets are in the playoffs. A lot of people are saying they want Scataboo from Arizona State. I don't know.
Second round?
I think it'll probably be third round. There's a lot of running backs I like in this draft.
It's like nine deep.
There's a lot that I like. I do want the Texans to get a running back, and if they got Scataboo, I would hope it's more fourth round because there's some guys that I like. There's some guys that I like. I like that Neal kid from Kansas. I like the Harvey kid from UCF. There's a lot of guys I like. Samson kid's not bad. Not bad. There's some guys in here that I would like to get my hand on. Who's the really fast kid? His name's funny. It's hard to pronounce, like Thiebel or something like that. He ran like a 4.24 40. He was a track guy before he played college football. Like, he's very intriguing. I forget where he played.
Okay.
Yeah, Lance was on him very early. Lance was on him very early, and I started drafting him like for free in the back end of these best balls, and now he's going like in the 12th round. Like, his draft buzz has went very high since he ran that 40. Not reading that. Gauntlet has been thrown down, says Honey Glaze Branham. He's coming back. Geno Smith, maybe. We'll see when he calls back in, Honey Glaze Branham. Geno Smith stormed out when he didn't go first round. I don't remember that one.
I don't either.
I remember he went second round. I didn't remember him storming out.
Salvage your image by taking Sanders. I don't think so, says a texter.
I think there are teams that will. I think the Vegas situation's interesting, but I think that Mark Davis was enamored by him.
Would it salvage the image though? Because
said salvage the image because of Cleveland, though, right?
Yeah, I said for Cleveland.
Because whether you believe it or not, there's some baggage that obviously comes along with Shedeur.
There is, but look, from the standpoint of everybody, you were the laughing stock and an embarrassment in the way you handled everything with Jimmy Haslam and his wife and the Browns. And now it looks like you're in a quarterback quandary for years to come. If you take him and you somehow find a way to get Hunter too, there are going to be a ton of eyeballs on you. And if it works at all and it's exciting at all, it can make Browns fans excited and it can start to get some of the forgiveness that Haslam needs.
See, go ahead, my bad.
That just feels like a Jerry Jones move. Not saying that you're advocating or whatever, but like kind of taking the move to excite the fan base, the big name, but maybe not necessarily the generational talent that you would actually need to be successful with the pick, kind of feels like a Jerry Jones move.
But he needs it in Cleveland. That is such an embarrassment right now.
But, you know, you need to be good, though. Like, if Shedeur, like, if you believe guys like Lance and the other people who say he has no special talents, no special skill traits, that he's more of a second-round guy than a first, but you then vault him into the top 15, I mean, if he sucks, then you've done the opposite. You've set yourself back even further.
If he sucks. But I'm saying just from the standpoint of some positive PR for an organization that desperately needs it.
I just hate you kind of had the same conversation like locally when Manziel was coming out. You heard people, or when Vince Young was coming out, take the local guy for the good buzz, the good PR. But good PR and buzz die as soon as the team's not winning.
If he actually is not the player that some people think he is, that Lance doesn't think he is, and others are like saying he might be a second round draft. But if he plays anywhere near decent his first year and the fact that they're able to get both those kids on the same team, it can go a long way for the Browns.
I don't like making picks with PR. Like, you're right. They would help PR and all that because, like, there would be some buzz and excitement. If PR is the reason you're taking a player, I think you're making a bad pick. Like, if you love the kid, don't worry about the PR. Just go draft the guy. It's like, what is the motive I think matters here? If you want to trade for Shadur because you think he's really good, great. Do not stand in the way of that at all. If you're drafting the kid because, like, oh, our fans are going to love this, I feel like you're failing your team's success.
I understand that. It's just that, you know, in there's certain situations where, and we went through it to from a different extent with the fact that Cal and the Texans were such a laughing stock, but they actually did it by getting the moves that they made to get Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud and made some savvy moves that actually made sense for the team as well. But I think that it's been done before in certain instances where you just need a 180 from an overall overhaul of your franchise with how bad and embarrassing you've been in the last couple years. That I would say I would draft Hunter.
The best way to get you out of the embarrassment, though, falls, is to build a roster that wins.
Yeah, I get it. But, I mean, when he went out and, you know, gave up the haul that he gave up for Deshaun, and then it's failed, and then Deshaun did what he did on top of it, and then did it again, and then got hurt again after getting hurt, and then him almost basically having, and then him coming out and admitting that we really screwed up there.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun. It'd be fun. I'm not a huge Shadur guy.
I'm not either.
Like I not personally. Like
as a player.
I'm talking about as a player. Like I don't trust him to be. I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be a starter in the NFL. I don't think that you're handing the keys of the organization to Shadur Sanders and saying you're going to go win me a Super Bowl. I think he'll be a steady quarterback in the NFL. Not a star. 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the Daniel Jeremiah. Who does he have the Texans linked to? There's another player that's been linked to the Texans as well. It's draft season, baby. You all love it. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Soriano tells us Lance loves Shadur. Rocky says, I think for me, I know offensive line's going to be a given for our Texans fans, and I'm hyped to see what wide receiver we take. See, I think you can find good wide receiver in the second round. I don't think you need to do it at 25, depending on what Nick Caserio does. Like, he is a willing, dealing son of a gun. The Texans do have four picks in the top, what is it, 90?
Isn't it top 100?
I want to say it's 90.
Maybe. I thought it was four in the top 100 if you want to say, you know, break it down even further. Regardless, they've got a lot of good picks.
Yeah, so I think that there are receivers that you can find in the second round that are pretty good. I think you can find a good running back at 79 or 89. I don't mind offensive line at 25.
I think there's a couple guys that could slide, too. And we know Nick has a propensity every now and then to trade up.
Yeah.
To where, you know, there's a couple guys in that first round that are offensive linemen that could help you a bunch.
Here's what Daniel Jeremiah, again, was all over the Texans whenever they drafted C.J. Stroud at 2, trade up for Will Anderson. He predicted it to happen when everybody was like, that's not happening. Here was Daniel Jeremiah talking about who's on the board for the Texans at 25.
The Houston Texans, it's going to be the law firm of Booker or Banks. Like, they're drafting an offensive lineman between those two guys, whoever's there.
There you go. Booker or Banks, whoever's there. Of course, Kelvin Banks Jr. Went to Brian's favorite T-shirt school at Texas. Good player, like more of a tackle. And then Booker's the guard that, like, wants to rip people's heads off. So they call him the Will Anderson at the interior offensive line position. So there are two options. I would be okay with either one. Like, if either one of those guys is the pick, totally understand. Banks, you need a tackle. Maybe he can play guard early in his career. Move him out to tackle when these guys leave, because the guys you signed are one-year deals. If it's Booker, okay. Like, go draft an interior offensive lineman that you know is going to be very good. Now, my fear here is that Nick Caserio doesn't have a great track record at drafting offensive linemen.
True.
So that's my biggest fear. But I like the prospects here. I worry about Caserio drafting offensive line.
Was this a curse now? Even if they're good prospects, Caserio curses them?
I hope not.
The track record says he ain't wrong. Like, we've been saying it for a long time. As much as he's good at getting wide receivers and getting defensive backs, he's been horrible with his offensive lineman picks.
Awful.
I mean,
Patterson's the one saving grace.
And he's just a guy.
Right.
Like, the reason that he's a saving grace is because that he's league average as a six-rounder. You know what I mean?
And he can play two positions.
Yeah. But he's league average at best. At best, he's league average.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I agree. He hasn't been good drafting offensive linemen. That's hard to argue against. But I mean, at the top of the draft, say I don't know, first two rounds, the sample size is what, two guys? Is it just Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs? So
yes.
Okay. I mean, so
yes.
I guess that's kind of my pushback on the – and now the track record is 0-2, so you could definitely make the argument, you know, Nick Caserio's terrible drafting offensive linemen that matter because, like you said, the hits are, you know, six-round picks that are just guys. But, yeah, he hasn't hit, but if it's an 0-2 sample size, a two-player sample size, it feels like at times we're maybe leaping too far to he can't draft offensive linemen. Not necessarily we, but just in general the fan base.
It's the prevailing wind.
I know. I don't know. I think the prevailing wind stinks a little bit. I don't think it's telling the full picture. I don't want to say he can't draft offensive linemen based on a two player sample size.
You know he's doing here. He's talking himself into it as a Texans fan.
Yeah,
there's a part of that.
He's talking himself into it. Eric on YouTube says trade out for more picks. I'm always a fan of trading down if the value's there. I wouldn't mind that. Ocho says, do not draft an offensive lineman at 25. No, 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 no. Move mountains to draft the speedy receiver. Now, Ocho did want Brian Thomas Jr. last year, so Ocho kind of has scoreboard here. So okay, I do have to tip my cap to him.
Ocho, what if they don't draft him at 25? Maybe they draft him at 18.
Why? I mean,
I know. He
said move mountains to draft one, so.
But Ocho said don't draft me. Please, no, 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 at 25. Well, maybe Nick will move up, and you don't have to do it at 25. You can do it higher because it sounds like that's the prevailing thought that everybody knows that they, regardless of any other positions they might look at, they're looking at O-line.
Yeah. I mean, according to Ginger Jeremiah, for sure, Stroud needs weapons, says Ocho. See, I think you can find a receiver weapon in the second. Like, I think you can. What if one of those tight ends gets to you at 25? What if Loveland falls to 25? Warren's not. Loveland's not either.
No.
But Loveland's got a better chance of doing it. If Loveland's there at 25, do you dare draft the tight end in the first round?
It depends on who's there at other positions. Because if Booker slides.
Booker or Loveland?
Yeah. Booker.
Banks or Loveland?
Banks.
Who's your favorite receiver?
Egbuke.
Egbuke or Loveland?
Egbuke.
Okay, you're out on Loveland then.
I kind of
am. Yeah, it sounds like you're out on Loveland.
Because I think, you know why? Because I think that they're so in on the tight ends that they have that, and you have other needs that you have to fill, I just don't think you do it there.
That's fair. I'm laughing at this text. Tyler and Conrad, I'm a serial winner at fantasy football, so I consider myself a good evaluator of talent. I take an O lineman. The difference between players 20 to 80 isn't so large that you miss out on serious talent by taking an O lineman. So there's you have to take him seriously because he's a serial winner at fantasy football. How many offensive linemen have you had on those serial winning fantasy football teams there, Tyler and Conroe? reminds me with the Mets sign Tebow off of the media. That was different, though, because the Mets, all they just spent was a little bit of money. They didn't use, like, an actual high-priority draft pick. Now, here, Tony Pauline, who kind of looks like a poor man Tony Levine, he had Omarion Hampton. The expectation – he had a nugget about a Hampton. The expectation is Omarion Hampton – running back from North Carolina, will be a first-round lock in the 2025 NFL draft. Okay, you're not telling us anything there, poor man, Tony Levine. But he says the four teams that are heavily connected to Hampton, Commanders, Broncos, Chargers, and Texans. Hmm. Would Nick Caserio draft a running back at 25 with Joe Mixon on this team? They've never really prioritized running backs in the draft. Even Pierce was a mid-round draft pick.
I can't see it.
I don't either. I'm calling this bluff.
I think, yeah, and I don't know how Joe takes that either. And I know that Joe is longer in the tooth and he doesn't have many years left probably. But I can't see him doing it.
See, I do think RB2 can be a weapon. Like Ocho's saying, give him weapons, give him weapons, give him weapons. I do think an RB2 could really help this football team. I don't think you do it at 25, though. Mm-mm. Like, you should get wide receiver two before you're looking at RB two. Now, I do like Hampton, though. Hampton's pretty stinking good.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you look at it from the perspective of when you mentioned tight end. I could see them doing a tight end because even getting Stover's not a guy that's going to be a frontline pass catcher. So if you get a frontline pass catcher and you've got your tight ends for the future locked up from a blocking and from a catching perspective, that's great. But in the first round, with the needs that you have, and again, depending on who's still there,
yeah,
whether it be wide receiver, offensive line, or otherwise.
Plus, Caserio's so much of a value guy. And everything tells you that the value is not drafting running back in round one.
Yeah.
Everything tells you that.
Other than those two guys, for sure, it's more like, what, mid-second to third?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I really want one in the top four rounds, though.
I think they need one because I don't believe Pierce is a guy that can be a really – like you're talking about, if you want a weapon that can be, you know, multi-purpose use, aside from running back kicks and punts to some degree, I just don't see Pierce as a valuable two. If you get a guy that's versatile, that's a pass catcher, that's also dynamic as a backup running back, that's great.
Yeah. They're saying Pierce is better for this scheme, but cool. That's awesome. That's great. Still go find me a pass-catching running back, though. Like, Pierce can be great for this scheme. That helped you. Fantastic. I still think you could really use a pass-catching running back that really helps on third downs. Mm-hmm. Well, Dari can do it. No, Dari's a special teamer. I really don't want Dari taking offensive snaps. If you need him on this team so much because you love him on special teams, cool. That's fine. You can have Dari as one of your 53 guys on the roster. That's A-OK by me. I don't want Dari ever playing an offensive snap again. Like, and that's not an insult to Dari, but he's a special teamer. He's not really a running back. He's Matthew Slater is who he is.
Yeah, he's limited. He has a ton of skills, like in short doses. Like you said, I mean, he's good at picking up blitzes and blocks from time to time. Occasionally he can give you a run or he can give you a catch, but he's not a guy that you're going to actually implement into your offense if you're looking for a weapon, and he's definitely not the heir apparent to anything with Joe Mixon. So, you know, if Joe Mixon gets hurt, I think you're screwed.
If you think Loveland can be Kelsey or Kittle or Bowers, just do it. I do like Loveland. I really don't expect him to be there at 25. If he's there at 25, it throws a wrinkle into things because it's a conversation we really haven't had. Loveland at 25.
I think you'd have to be convinced he's special. To the texture's point, because of you've.
Do you, though, or do you just have to think he's a better offensive weapon than Emeka Egbuke, Matthew Golden, Luther Burden?
As long as you're willing to put aside the assets put into the rest of the tight end position, then sure. But I would just worry, considering what else they put into the position, if they draft a guy and he doesn't just completely.
They got three tight ends on the roster.
That's what I mean. Like,
locked down.
Are they good, though? And how much?
I mean, you know how I feel about Dalton Schultz.
And how much? How much? Here's the other caveat to this: that's really an unknown. Like, it's an educated guess. Does Nick Calvi want to play 60% 12 personnel or 60% 11 personnel? Don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah,
we don't know.
It's a two tight end set majority of the time, yeah. Then that opens the door for sure.
If he wants to operate more out of a two tight end set than he does a three receiver set. Well, Loveland makes more sense than those other receivers.
And then
you draft a receiver in the second or third round that you think has a chance to be pretty good. And Nick Caserio is pretty good at that. Tank Dell, third round. Nico Collins traded up in the third round.
Yeah.
So I'm not opposed to that.
Davis Mills.
He's not a receiver. Also not good.
Just an unbelievable
talent. Jalen Petrie, third round. There we go.
So, that is a caveat that's kind of an unknown to the Texas process because we don't really have an idea of what Nick Caley runs to run. We take a little bit of what he did with L.A. We took a little bit of what he did in New England, and we assume that's what he's going to be. But he also told you at the press conference, my style is going to be Houston Texan style, and it's going to take elements of both.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We have no clue. We're guessing.
If they had the talent to do it at tight end, that would make some sense because with the current state of the wide receiver room without Tank Dell, I don't really want them running a lot of three wide receiver sets.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, but.
And the running game would improve, you would think.
Yeah.
With two tight end sets.
As long as they're willing to get Loveland or whoever it is on the field, then I'd be for it. If that means a change of the offense that they've been running, well, they have been running because it's a new offense coordinator, but you know what I mean. Like, if this is a sign that it's a shift from 11 personnel to 12, then sure.
Right. I think to me, it would signal that. Like, if you're drafting Loveland there, I think it's a signal and a clue to what their base offense will be. And, of course, you're not doing all of this all the time. You're not going to be 100%
sure.
You're going to change. You're going to adjust. Jaybird, are we forgetting about Brevin? No, Blankers didn't. Wasn't he pretty good at blocking and catching? No. I mean, no, I like Brevin Jordan's potential. But Schultz is probably in the final year of his deal.
For sure.
He wasn't great last year. No. Like, he's got a three-year deal. He's in the second of a three-year, but all the guarantees are in the first two. If Dalton Schultz is on this football team in 2026, I'll eat paper. Like, he's not going to be on the team. Like, the guarantees give us all the evidence to that.
How much paper?
Just a piece. Not much. I'm not.
Not the general? You're not going to eat the whole Chronicle?
Yeah, general said he'd eat the phone book,
I thought it was the whole Chronicle.
See, Tyler Connell is a good point. There's not a tight end on this roster that would call for you to turn your nose up at Loveland. I completely agree, because he's immediately, if you're drafting him at 25, your best tight end. And it's not a knock on Brevin. It's not a knock on Dalton Schultz. It's a testament to Loveland.
I don't disagree.
And probably a clue about the offense.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that point that he's at least, you know, on paper, the most talented guy. I've just seen veteran staffs of basically play the veteran. They draft a guy and, well, we're still going to go with a veteran. If this guy's been here longer, he knows the system. The rookie's got to earn his way in. And at that point, if Loveland, let's say it's Loveland in this scenario, if Loveland's not seeing the field, this team needs starters at other positions. Uh-huh. And to me, that just wouldn't be the best use of your draft picks.
But you can't use the know the system with Kaylee. Because
I know,
but
we've seen that with coaches. That's my point.
Earmarked a couple linemen that he says this is the kind of guy that I really need because of what all the things that they did to kind of turn this thing over on the fly.
Uh-huh.
That if one of those two guys is someone that he's just hell bent that has as a guy that could really make a difference. To Brian's point, rather than spending it on a tight end, I think you got to do that.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I think tight end would be the biggest clue about the type of offense they would run if they draft a tight end. If they draft an offensive lineman, it's not really a clue to the type of offense they're going to run. They're just drafting an offensive lineman to upgrade their offensive line. Even a receiver, I think, would be the same way.
Yeah, and I want to say that there was a receiver recently that used to play for him in that system with the Rams that was talking about how he values tight end and the third receiver to where he thought that they would be targeting that because of him. And that would be interesting to see because, I mean, you're right. We don't know what we don't know about him.
Uh-huh. It'll be interesting. Texas says Loveland isn't special. All right, 713-780-ESPN. I hate Ace Talk. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I also hate property tax. It's the worst. Being a homeowner comes with a lot of responsibility and a lot of property tax. Omo's here to help you with both of those things. Let them take that off your plate. Don't worry about it. Take away that stress, but also allow them to save you some money. A lot of homeowners are overpaying for property taxes, and it should not be you. Head to ownwell.com right now, ownwell.com. Sign up in less than 3 minutes to get their experts fighting for you. Everybody's talking about it. Ownwell's cutting-edge technology can start saving you money with zero upfront costs. You heard me right. You're not paying anything upfront. You're only going to pay if you save money. All reward, no risk. And 86% of Ownwell's customers receive a reduction. The average customer saves over $1,100. It takes you 3 minutes. You could potentially be saving over $1,100. What are you waiting for? Put those savings back in your pocket. Ownwell handles it all from start to finish and delivers top-notch results. They level the playing field, eliminate the concern of paying too much on property tax for the everyday home and property owner like you and me. Deadline to protest less than a month away, May 15th. May 15th, put it in your calendar. No, don't put it in your calendar. Just head to ownwell.com right now. So you can get this done and check off the box and potentially save hundreds of dollars. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes. Start that protest today at ownwell.com. That's ownwell.com. Ownwell.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. You found the killer bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I hate Ace Talk so much. And look, I think there are two different ways to use the ace term in baseball. I think you use ace as kind of a status, elite tier. Like, I think you have more than two aces on one staff. Like Greg Maddux, John Smoltz, Tom Glavine, those are three aces. Mm-hmm. Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling, two aces. Pedro, Curt, two aces.
You saw it here.
Garrett
Cole, had
Cole
and Verlander. Yeah,
two aces. You might have it now with Fromber and Brown. Those guys are both, I would consider, depending on how they're doing that day, in the elite tier, ace tier. What I don't hate is the second way that we use the word ace in baseball. Because the second way we use ace in baseball is who the best pitcher is on a specific starting rotation. And that changes by the night to some of these Astro fans that are out there. And to every other team, I'm sure, as well. Framber Valdez has a bad night. Hunter Brown follows it up with a good night. Hunter Brown's the ace. Hunter Brown's our guy. Next week, Hunter Brown has a bad start. Framber Valdez pitches well. I told you that Framber Valdez was the ace. Who cares? What's the difference between the number one starter and the number two starter outside of three times a year? Opening day rotation, the rotation that you set after the All-Star break, and if you're lucky enough to make the playoffs, that's the only time that that stuff actually comes into play. The second way that we use ace, the best pitcher on a staff, is a mythical title. It does not matter or carry any weight.
But you know, it matters to the players.
I don't think it does.
Remember Framber?
That's more about the opening day starter thing.
Like, opening day starter, all-star, and then when,
those are the
when
dates
they
I mentioned.
Got Verlander back, and he was pretty adamant about he wanted to be the number one.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
But in that
regard, I thought that it mattered to him.
It might matter to Framber. But what is the manager doing to say that this guy is our ace? He's starting him on opening day. He's starting him the first game after the All-Star break, and he's using him as his number one starter in the postseason. Those are the only three times it comes into play. Like on April 16th, Joe Espada is not going into the clubhouse and saying, Framber, I know the fan base is saying that Hunter Brown's the ace. I know that Hunter Brown's pitching better than you in this last turn through the rotation. Hunter Brown isn't our ace, you're our ace. That conversation's not happening.
No, I think that the only other possibility is like late in the season, you have a must-win situation. You might take your quote-unquote best pitcher, and make sure that even on short rest, that's the guy you got to go to.
That's going to be difficult to do based on their rest. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of a reach might not be possible to happen. I'll grant you that is a half a time ether. So 3.5 times it matters. If you're a postseason team, okay, 3.5 times. If you're not a postseason team, it's twice.
Look,
twice.
I think the term was a lot more prevalent when teams and money wasn't the way it was and free agency and everything wasn't the way it was, where most teams just had one horse, one just badass dude at the front of your rotation. And then you had, you know, other guys that might be close to that, but you weren't. Now you can stack and rack, you know, depending on how much money you're willing to spend, you know, multiple aces.
The difference between the number one starter and the number two starter is very, very slim.
You know,
and
it mostly just competitive teams.
Yeah. And, yes. Look, they're going to get the same amount of starts. They're, depending on how they pitch, going to get similar amount of innings pitched. So this whole, like, he's the ace of the stat is irrelevant outside of three and a half, four times a year.
It's more so a term that, you know, a lot of people like to
use. I get tired of it. Like, why does it matter?
Because I just think, especially old school traditionalists, they want to believe that there is a line of demarcation and separation between your one and two to where – you want to be able to say that dude is the best of the staff. But you're right. I mean, you look at some of the ones you named, and even there's lots more of the possible examples where even the Braves recently and you know, the Yankees were trying to do it this year till Cole got hurt, that you're going to look for having two go-to guys at the top of your rotation.
Yeah. I mean, they're both going to start 32 games. They're both going to pitch in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And perhaps my biggest annoyance with this is kind of the wishy-washiness of how often it changes within the fan base. Like, Framber Valdez, he pitches really well one night. He's the ace. Hunter Brown pitches really well. No, he's the ace now. It's a mythical title created by the fan base. Like, it really is. Outside of the 3-4 days that we mentioned. Any other day on the calendar year, it is irrelevant. They're both going to start tons of games. They're both going to throw a lot of innings. They're both going to try to win baseball games.
And I don't
even
know if it was created by the fan base. I think a lot of times it was created by the media.
I'm talking about currently, like, like, vernacular and our common, like, discourse about that term. Because you've seen that, and that's what has led to my annoyance. You see on Twitter these last, three games now. Framber pitched bad. Hunter pitched good. No, this guy's our ace now. Okay, cool. Fromber's going to go 8 shutout innings next week. Hunter Brown might give up 3 or 4, and you're going to change your opinion again because you've now created this mythical title. You know what I want? I want Framber to always pitch good. I want Hunter Brown to always pitch good, and I want to have two aces at the top of the rotation.
Yeah. I think analytics changed a lot of that too, because a lot of times, and you remember when they were even more hyper-analytic in the last couple of years, where – you had multiple choices based on the lineup you were facing, you know, the amount of righties and lefties in said lineup, you know, different things were going to factor into who they were going to start in the first game of said series, whether it be playoffs, you know, or otherwise. And I think that the case that Fromber's also going is he didn't have that big contract yet. And so that meant something to him because he thinks in negotiations it means something.
Nell did hopefully both pitch like aces. And I think that's the other way you can use ace. I think there's two ways to use it. There's a status tier among baseball of this is the upper echelon of pitching. And you can have multiple in a single rotation. And then there's the second one. This guy is the best pitcher on our staff. And I hate the latter. I'm cool having the conversation about the former. The latter I don't like. Oso, what if I told you the Astros don't have an ace right now? We don't have a Skeens, a Scooble, a Garrett Cole. Ace is thrown around too much. You can make the case that Hunter Brown last 20 starts has been the best pitcher in the American League. Yeah. So I would argue opposite.
He might be one of the best kept secrets right now in pitching.
And I will admit that Hunter Brown, I have more faith in him than Fromber. And if I had to create my mythical title, I would give it to Hunter Brown as the best pitcher on the staff.
Especially, you know, and again, a lot of it is, like you said, it's recency biased.
Oh, for sure.
And the fact that Fromber had a hiccup and Hunter Brown keeps pushing, that most people is going to say it's Hunter Brown.
And it's just so irrelevant. Like, Fromber's going to make his next turn through the rotation. Hunter Brown's going to make his next turn through. It's a word. It's a word that is out there.
And I think in negotiations, it plays a part.
Probably. Yeah. Probably does. Sure. Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What is the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. What is your car wreck of the day? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. We don't want you getting a car wreck, but if you do get in a car wreck, I hope it's from a vehicle you bought at Monument Chevrolet. Because Monument Chevrolet is the dealer that you can trust. They're transparent, no hassle pricing. You don't have to hassle. Hassle is the worst thing whenever you're trying to buy a car. I've been hassling with the dealership, too. You don't want to have to do that. Get out to Monument Chevrolet where they're transparent, and you will have no hassle. You're also going to get your car shopping done fast. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and these families keep coming back because they trust the fine people at Monument Chevrolet. Family feel, friendly atmosphere, great culture. They hire good people. Their salesperson of the week, Theo Neal. Theo has worked with Monument Chevrolet for nearly 20 years. Dedicated to his customers, listens to what they say, guides them through the car buying process, and gives them the information they need to make an informed decision. Not going to hassle you either. Monument Chevrolet, listen to your request. Truck month has been extended through April. You get employee pricing, just 2.9% interest on Chevy Silverado 1500 through April 30th. Now, there is a hanging point here, is that Monument Chevrolet is selling record numbers of Silverados. So if you're looking for a special truck, you need to act fast. Get out to Monument Chevrolet before they sell out. Get a fair deal, fast deal. Don't waste your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. You can visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com, or just get out there in person, 225 and Bellway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Loaded and ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Give me your you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Car wrecks of the day, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. What's your car wreck of the day, Blinkers?
Well, the first one should be the Astros offense. The Astros offense has been a car wreck all season. It was a car wreck again today. They only got four hits. They got two in the first inning. It's been a reason for my uneasiness watching this team from a game-to-game basis, and today was no different.
Yeah, the offense wasn't great today. I have two car wrecks of the day. 713-780-3776. Should you have one? Wesley Bryan has been suspended indefinitely from the PGA Tour after participating in the Live Duels creator event. He's just going to a little creator event. It's like they have the influencers that go play golf, and then they kind of have a good time. And Wesley Bryan got suspended indefinitely from the tour for going to play a little creator event, being a social media influencer.
First, they came after the influencers, and I said nothing. You obviously don't get the reference. We could keep it moving.
Also, Honey Glaze Branham's phone call.
Yeah,
definitely has to be there.
It was his. It was his maiden voyage into the hive.
And he hit the iceberg and sank.
It was as bad as the Titanic.
Yeah, it was pretty
into
bad.
Into the live, not into the hive.
It was as bad as the Titanic without any of the lifeboats. It was atrocious.
He's in the hive daily. He just into the live, which. Miserable.
Yeah. That was bad.
Yeah, that was. Anyway, all right. My car wreck of the day nominee. This happened on John and Lance's show. They went to a caller named Stafford who had been on hold a while, and when they did, this is what happened.
Hey, Stafford's been waiting for a while. Let's get him in here. Hey, Stafford.
Oh, that's good. Is this the whole
Stafford thing? Have his own music, his own hold music?
I think he put us on hold.
I know. He's got his own hold music. Yeah.
Who are you nominating for the car wreck here, though?
The caller.
That's I recognize this.
I don't
this.
Know.
How long do you stick with it?
See, I think this is a troll. I think this is a troll.
Let's go to the other caller. Let's keep him on hold.
This isn't a car wreck. That's a tip of the cap.
No, it's just what you guys did.
That's a tip of the cap.
Tip of the cap for what?
That's you put me on hold so long, I'm not happy about it. I'm putting you on hold, and when you come to me, this is what you're getting.
Okay.
I like that. Stafford stands on business.
So you think this is the
I'm
caller?
I'm a fan of that. That's a Branham move.
You think this is the caller fighting back against
Absolutely.
The man?
Yes.
Against the system? Okay.
I do. This All is Stafford right. saying, these Hall of Famer jabronis want to put me on hold for 30 minutes? I'll show them.
Who do you think you are? Think you're better than me?
Exactly. This isn't a car wreck. This is an epic troll.
I also had Bill Belichick's girlfriend, the 24-year-old, is now billing herself as the chief operating officer of Belichick Productions. And during the Carolina spring game, she had a walkie-talkie and earpiece and dressed like she was about to audition for American Idol, running around the field all over the place, and people were all looking at it. And then Gronk and Julian Edelman did a podcast and said, three things Belichick told us to always stay away from, and one of them was girls. He ain't doing a great job.
There was also, we don't have time to tell the story now, but Google the emails that she was sending out to NC staffers. Yes. Just like, oh boy, this is a problem.
And were they bad in which way?
Micromanaging, like telling people what they could and could not say, trying to get people who were commenting on their website like booted because they're saying poor things about Belichick. Uh-oh. Yeah, it's not looking
and he
great.
And asked that everybody in their whatever group work chat include her on all emails.
It's rough. Car wreck of the day, the Honey Glazed Branham. Joe is spotted for sitting Yordan after homering yesterday. And BMAC just because. Yeah, all right, what's winning?
It's Honey Glazed Branham,
yeah,
right?
Honey Glazed Branham takes the cake. Congratulations, Honey Glazed Branham. Even whenever you're a loser, you won. Does it for us. Thanks to Ryan for doing all the hard work. Brian just sat there and did nothing. He's blank on Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Hall of Fame, Jobber T and Brad Gilmore coming up at 7 o'clock on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Goodbye.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.